chapter 27, verse 31, one of the greatest verses that you can take off and preach on, I believe, in the Word of God. Acts chapter 27 and verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Read that again. Paul said to the centurion, except to the soldiers, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Father, I thank you tonight for the word. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for what you're doing in this crusade and what you're going to do tonight. I believe you, God, to help people and minister to them through your word. We thank you and praise you and magnify you and believe you for great things tonight. And everybody said with me, amen and amen. Praise God. I want to preach to you just for a few moments tonight on a subject I guess I could just simply entitle Don't Jump Ship. And I think you'll remember it because every time I look at this and every time I get sometimes in a rough situation, this message comes back to me, not to jump ship. Because, you see, there's an inborn nature in man. When things don't go right, you want to jump ship. We live in a pressurized society. And you people know a little more about it, really, than I do as far as in association with the world. Because in the ministry, I live maybe a little different life as far as not being associated as closely to the world as many of you on jobs and in neighborhoods and things like this. And so most of you know what I'm talking about when I say we live in a pressurized society where there's pressures on every hand. Our young people today are under more pressure than they've ever been in their lives. Our dads are under more pressure today in the home and on the job than he's ever been before. Our ladies today are under more pressure than they've ever been as far as being a mother and as far as also having responsibilities on the job and in many capacities. Our churches are under more pressure today from the powers of darkness than they've ever been before. I don't care what anybody says, brother. It's harder to have a move of God right now than it's ever been. It's harder to have an outbreak of revival than it's ever been. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying it cannot happen. But I'm telling you, hell is fighting harder right now than it's ever fought. It fought Jesus harder the last few steps before he got to Calvary than at any other time. And it's fighting harder today because the king's just about to come. Well, when these pressures begin to mount and the things begin to happen and problems come, the first thing that the devil says is, well, you know, if I was you, I'd just jump ship. I mean, you're going down there to church and you're going and you're still having problems. And if I was you, I'd just jump ship. Now I want to get back to that in a minute, but here's a man of God out here. He's in a storm. Here's the greatest evangelist that ever lived, and he's in a storm. Here's a man that wrote 13 books of the New Testament. I mean, the power of God flowed in him, a great man. I mean, one of the greatest that's ever lived, and he's in a storm. Now, somebody, first of all, would say, what's a man of God doing in a storm? See, some people think preachers just sit around in a closet all day where it's dark and just go, you know, and especially babies, you know, they think we just stay in our motel room all day where it's real dark. You just hover over the corner or something, you know. And they think, you know, there's never no storm. Now, I'm going to hit everybody tonight, so hang on. Amen. But you know, what's a man of God? I thought, Brother Percy, that preachers weren't ever in storms. Yeah, they are because they're pastoring you. Hey, now, I'm going to get on your side in a minute. Now, stay with me. Amen. But no, they face problems too. Somebody said, well, now let's take it a little step further. I thought if I read the word enough and I prayed enough and I said the right things enough, I wouldn't have any pressures. Well, like I said Sunday, I'm telling you, if you do that, you'll have problems. See, if you're not having any problems and no battles and no testing, then you probably, the devil's got you where he wants you, you see. Amen? I'm telling you, brother, if you get in the Word and you do pray and you do stand for what's right and move in the power of God, the devil will fight you because you're giving him trouble, you see. You're giving him trouble. And so therefore, somebody said, well, I thought if I was a child of God and I, you know, I wouldn't have any more trouble with the devil. It's like that lady that kept wanting you to pray, you know, pray for that she wouldn't have any more trouble with the devil. And I finally one night did, and I said, God, kill her in the name of Jesus. She backed up and said, I don't want to die. Well, I said, that's the only way you won't have any more trouble with the devil. Now, I'm not saying we look for it. I'm not saying we expect it. But I'm saying there are times in your life when your back will be up against the wall. And in the natural, it'll seem like it's impossible that you can make it on through. But glory to God, I'm not going to jump ship. I'm just going to get stronger in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get a hold of the Word of God, put my shoulders back, and say, devil, I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that glorious day, and I can do all things, and I'm not jumping ship, I'm doing more. But here's a man of God out in a storm. You'll have some storms. You'll face some storms, not necessarily, I'm not saying daily and all that. I'm saying there'll be times in your life when you'll face some storms. Let me go a step farther and tell you tonight, it wasn't his fault he was even in it. Sometimes you'll get in situations and battles and it won't even be your fault. Huh? Paul, it wasn't Paul's fault he was in a storm. In fact, he tried to tell them, don't even sail the way you're going. There's rough water ahead. They didn't pay any attention to him and got out there and didn't do what he said. And sure enough, a storm came up and rose up and the thing was about to capsize. Everybody had been lost and Paul said, hey, except you abide on the ship, you'll not be saved. If you jump ship, you've had it. If you jump ship, you've had it. If you throw in the towel, you've had it. Brother, God doesn't operate with quitters. Are you listening to me? God cannot bless a quitter. God blesses people that endure and move on. People don't like quitters. God doesn't like and appreciate quitters. You're a winner. Glory to God, you're a winner. A lot of people sit around and say, well, I'm a loser. I'm a loser. I'm a loser. I look at them and say, yeah. But I mean, you know, I'm a loser. Then they'll go down the bloodline. Dad was a loser. His dad before him, Grandpa, was a loser. It's in my family. I'm a loser. No, you're not. Not if you're saved. You're a winner. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't jump ship. You're a winner. Yes. Paul said, except you abide on the ship, you cannot be saved. It wasn't his fault. You'll get put in some maybe pressure situations and it won't be your fault. But you can't get mad at God and pout about it. You just got to move on and say, praise God, the Word says this, I'm going to stay on the boat, I'm going to stay in the ship, and I'll tell you, if you'll do that, you'll come out of it better. Amen. Here's a man that you know, he says, unless you abide on the ship, you cannot be saved. Sometimes it'll seem like your walls are coming down. And there's an inborn nature in man. The first time something doesn't work out is to jump ship. And he wants the gift of disappearing. I always wanted that gift in school. Amen? Huh? You know, it's hot, you know, and you're in that classroom, you're kind of sleeping, you want to be out playing ball or something. I said, God, give me the gift of disappearing. Never happened, but praise God. I've been in some revivals and I wanted the gift to disappear. Praise God. But anyway, you can't. You got to face the things that come at you. You got to meet them head on with the power of God. There's an inborn nature when the first little thing doesn't work, if something doesn't work out, we want to jump ship. Well, I want to stop here and say this tonight. Nobody ever said this was easy. See, we got people today that want the easy way out. They want to serve God. They want to live for God. They want all the blessings of God, but they want the easiest way out. They want to come to church, and they want the glory to fall and heaven to come down and glory fill their soul and goosebumps bump up all over them. And, oh, I just want the tingling and the joy and the excitement and the power of God. And the only prayer they do is around the table. That's a good point. Now, if you stay on that, you're on something. I like it. Glory to God. Thank you. So you see, you gotta do something, you see. But the first thing we want to do, we want to jump ship if things don't work out. Well, I'll tell you, sometimes it's difficult. It's hard. It's not easy to walk by faith. It's not easy to walk with God. It's not easy to be a Christian sometimes. Sometimes you have to just get a hold of the power of God and move on, man. Sometimes it's hard to smile. Anybody can pout, you know. You know, we got some people in our churches that are professional whiners. They ought to open up a shop. I've encouraged some people to open up a shop and make money. Learn how to whine the Professional Assembly of God way. $5 for a half-hour session. Amen? I mean, they ought to. I mean, they glory to God. But, you know, they just whine all the time, you know, and you know, and it's a tragic thing, you know. They just whine around. You ask them how they are, and they tell you. You know, it's just a tragic thing, you know. Hey, we have revival our church. God's moving. Is it going on every night? Listen, you ought to come to our Sunday school. God's moving. You'll enjoy it. Is it still as early as it ever was? Hey! Man, you ought to come and hear our choir. They're singing like they never sung before. You'll love it. Is it still as loud as it was the last time I was there? Listen, you ought to come to our church. We've redecorated it. It's beautiful. It looks so nice. I mean, at least you'll enjoy just the surroundings. It's nice. Is the temperature still set on that cold as it always was? See, they just whine. Oh, my God, I just want to knock them down. You can't do that, but, you know, sometimes I wish fruit of the Spirit wasn't even in there, but it is fruit. But no, I want you to know, if you're in a habit of whining and complaining and griping, God can never work for you. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you, but it'll stop up the blessings of God. And 10 years from now, you'll still be whining. Amen? That's the truth. But there's an inborn nature to jump ship. We face these problems. Ministers face the problem of wanting to jump ship. I know a lot of pastors like to jump ship. Right. I'm going to hit everybody. Stay with me. I know a lot of pastors would like to jump ship. I'm approaching my 800th meeting. So I've held a few meetings and I've been in a few churches. And I see a lot of men that the powers of darkness move against, and the problems come and the difficulties. And they're there, brother. I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times that pastor will stand back by that door and he'll shake your hand and he'll smile and he'll say, God bless you. And there's a war going on the inside of him. There's a heavy burden. And you don't see the hours that he cries and he weeps because people won't sell out and mean business with God. They're playing church. And the problems are there. And the devil, first thing he says, well, you don't have to put up with this. I wouldn't do that. I'd jump ship. Amen. I know pastor, you know, I pastored one time and I came from the old school that, you know, I didn't know any better, that you're supposed to pray to have a move. You ever heard that old time thing that you're supposed to pray? Well, it still works. And I was pastoring, I had a great church one time, great people, nice church. And I called a prayer meeting. We was on Saturday nights, and we was running about 300, 350 at the time. And I... I thought, well, praise God, we ought to have pretty good turnout. We had 7 average come out on Saturday night to pray. And I thought, well, now this isn't too good when you're running 350. If you're running 10, it'd be pretty good. And I kind of got discouraged, and I thought, what is this? And so I called a bean supper one night. I said, everybody come out, and we're going to have a big feed. Brown beans, homemade cornbread. Coconut cream pie, iced tea, wild onions. Don't somebody get shouting on me. And I said, now, after we get through with our supper, we're going to go on up and pray. Well, we had about 150 out. I said, God, I was excited. I was encouraged, you know. And we got up there, and, it was great. And I said, well, praise God, at least we'll have probably at least 100 now. We're on our way. Glory to God. Next Saturday night, we had 7. Now, it doesn't take anybody with a PhD to get this. They'd rather eat beans than pray. Are you with me? This isn't too hard, amen? They'd just soon eat beans and cornbread and touch God. It's not hard. You don't have to have to. It's the truth. And you face some of these pressures, and the thing the devil says, well, I'd get out of a whole mess if I was you. I wouldn't put up with that junk if I was you. You know what Paul said? Except you stay on the ship, you can't be saved. As evangelists, you know, same thing happens. Pastor's wife likes to jump ship sometimes, you know. I don't know why I'm on all this, but God is good. Hallelujah. They may not ever have me back here anyway, so I was preaching. No, but, a lot of pastor's wives like to jump ship. You know, if you don't do enough in the church, he's lazy. If you do too much, trying to take over like the other one. Yeah, you know, you go back. I found out there was a church the other day. I won't tell you where it is. You may have some relatives there. Heard church the other day. The pastor's wife went back and was just cutting pies, you know, trying to be nice. They were having a fellowship time, and she was cutting the pies. And one lady come up and just chewed her out real good. I'll have you know, I've been the pie cutter in this church for 22 years. You know what? Now you know what? What I'm saying is, the devil slides up beside and says, I wouldn't put up with that. I'd jump ship if I was you. Paul said that except you buy on a ship, you cannot be saved. I know sometimes as evangelists, I'd like to jump ship sometimes. Just say, you. That's the way you feel sometimes. Now listen to me. I went into California the other day, and I thought, man, they're supposed to have this. We're going to have a mighty revival. And so I flew into Bakersfield, and I thought, praise God, the way they talk, this is going to be great. And I got to church and was setting up a few things. I'd just flown in, and I got out, and I saw their bulletin board. Man, a big old 4x4 poster. Skating party. Such and such place, big old 4x4 poster, next to it another one, ski retreat, Bear Mountain, big old 4x4 poster. And then over here in a little 8.5x11 sheet of paper. Down at the very bottom in typewritten letters is Remember Our Revival with Mike Perkey. My God, I got some, I said, pack up, boys. We're going home. Amen. Yep. Now, I'm telling you just the fact. This is the truth, folks. I said I wouldn't preach here. Devil said I wouldn't either. If I was you, I'd get out. When I got home, I'd quit it. They is not worth it. And I said, you're right. Man, I got to walking out of that church for a moment and I said, now, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. This message kept haunting me. I wish I'd never found it. No. But except you abide on the ship, you cannot be saved. Well, to make a long story short, in many ways, I stayed there. And the greatest outbreak of revival that ever hit that church hit there. And I'm not saying it was because of me. I want you to understand, I'm not trying to point a finger at how wonderful I am, because that's not the truth. But the thing I'm trying to get over is, if I'd have jumped ship, a lot of souls would have been at stake, you see. And I want to tell you something. If you think you've got some problems now, you jump ship and see what kind of problems you've got. The devil says everything's so wonderful on the other side of the fence. I wouldn't go down to that old church anyway. I'd jump the fence. Just think. You won't have to get up on Sunday. You won't have to go on Sunday night. You won't have to be there early for the choir. And you won't be called on to give, and you know you hate that. Some people. I'm going to tell you what, though, brother. You jump ship, and you don't know what problems are until you jump ship. I wish I could have got that over to some friends of mine. I wish I could have got it over to them that you don't realize what's going to happen if you jump ship. But some of them that had such a touch of God, Pastor Mac, some of them that God was using, jump ship. And they didn't know what problems were till they got out of fellowship with God. I want you to know, folks, sometimes it's hard to stay on the ship. But I got some good news for you. I'm not up there guiding it. Jesus is up there at the wheel. Woo! Glory to God. Jesus is up there taking care of it. Stay on the boat. Glory to God. Don't jump ship. Sometimes it gets hard. Sure, it gets hard. It gets difficult. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but don't stop there. The Lord delivers us out of all of them. Glory to God, folks. Ooh, that touches me. A lot of Sunday school teachers, a lot of workers in the church would like to jump ship. Sometimes, some of you here tonight, you know what I'm talking about. Places of leadership. You're trying to work. You're trying to do something. Some people don't seemingly care. The devil says, don't do it anymore. Jump ship. You stay in there and keep doing what God's called you to do. I know there's a lot of missionaries like to jump ship when they're trying to win souls and put forth an effort, and seemingly sometimes people don't maybe care, but I want you to know I'm going to stay on the ship. There's a lot of families tonight that are jumping ship. There's a lot of homes tonight that are jumping ship. Amen? There's a lot, and you know, I talk with pastors all over the country. And I'm in so many other different churches. And you know, the biggest problem that our pastors are facing today is in our homes. The biggest battles, folks, that are happening today is in the homes of America and in our churches. Amen. We got people that's lived together for 30 years and all of a sudden just breaking up. People live together 40 years and just all of a sudden just think that, just, you know, don't think they love each other anymore. You better keep that love together. I don't want to preach tonight on the home necessarily. I'm on May tomorrow night. Probably have a good crowd if I announce my message tomorrow night, divorce and remarriage. No, anyway, praise God. I want you to know we're having battles in our homes. And every time the pressures come and the problems come, the devil says, I'd jump ship, I'd leave this family. He's telling a lot of dads that, and they're doing it. Our homes are facing pressure, are having pressures and problems. And somebody says, well, you know, if we love God, we won't have the problem. No, you're still going to have some problems. They're not going to be as many, and they're not going to be as terrible as they'd be if you wasn't, you know, you wasn't saved. But you're still going to have problems if you're saved. You're still going to have some battles and some disagreements about things. But if you got the power of God and the love of God in you, you can make it. You can make it. But the devil tells you, every least little thing didn't work out, to jump ship. 1960, there were 26 divorces for every 100 marriages. 1974, there were 48 divorces for every 100 marriages in America. And by 1990, there'll be 63 divorces, if the trend continues, for every 100 marriages. 1960, there were 393,000 divorces in America. 1970, there were 700,000 divorces in America. In 1980, there was 1,300,000 divorces in America. And by 1990, they say there'll be close to 2 million divorces in America. There's a lot of people jumping ship. Are you listening to me? Dad comes in from work, and I know the problems that happens and things. The wife gets on to him, well, you need to buy. I'm not getting enough new dresses. You could just take better care of us than you are. A teenager walks up and says, yeah, Dad, I need another new vest. The old one, this year old one, is not working good enough. Susie says, yeah, Daddy, and I'm not getting enough, you know, new clothes myself. And, you know, men and people, and, you know, the families, sometimes they gripe and they complain. And that's what the devil, he takes advantage of that scene. He slides up beside the dad and says, you know, you don't have to put up with this. You know, you don't have to mess with it. You know, you can get out and do your own thing, just kind of flow with what you want to, you know, and not be tied down. And a lot of men are listening to it, and they're jumping ship, but they don't realize what kind of problems they've got when they jump ship. The mother there in the home, you know, she's doing her best to do her part. Sometimes all mothers hear is gripes and complaints. We're spoiled, I'll be honest with you. Are we having this again for supper? This? You know, if I said that, my dad would say, well, go back there and chew on your belt. Huh? You know, if we don't have a gourmet dinner, you know, every time, we just, some people go out, and the mom tries to do her best and fix and plan, you know. Are we having ribeyes again? No. But, you know, honey, if you don't start taking a little better care of my collar, you've had it. You didn't starch it good enough. Huh? These doors are locked. I need to get out of sight. You know what happens when she starts hearing things like that? I could mention a lot of things. You know what happens? The devil slides up and says, you know, I'd leave the whole bunch. There's other people that take a lot better care of you than that, and I just jump here. Amen? A lot of teenagers, a lot of young people, you know, just griping around, complaining. I almost say it, you know. Mom, Dad, you're not buying us enough stuff. I don't have enough supplies for school. My car needs work on it. And you're just not doing me good enough. And I don't have enough money. And some of the other kids have got more than I've gotten. And you know, my room's not decorated right, and I need a new bed, and I need new furniture, and I'll tell you what, Mom and Dad, if things don't change around here, I'm going to leave home. You know, a lot of moms and dads love to turn to you and say, I thought you'd never ask. But you see, all of us have a tendency to jump ship. Amen. When things don't work out and problems come and the pressures begin to mount, Satan says to throw in the towel and quit and give it all up and you'll be better off. I'm telling you tonight, you can't get any better off than if you've got Jesus in your life. You can't get any better off if you're going to a church and the power of God. You'll have the problems. But you see, what I want to get over tonight, you can change most of the things that's happening. You have the ability to change them. If the devil tells you to jump ship because you can't pay your bills, start giving more in the church. I never have paid tithes on what I made. I pay tithes on what I want to make. not much shouting here now, is it? Amen. That's right. That's right. If we're sick in our body, you know, the devil says, well, I just jumped ship. You know, a church not doing any good. Well, why don't you start praying more, reading the word more, and adjust some things? Amen? If things aren't working out, instead of jumping ship, why don't you take the power of God, the name of Jesus? I mean, I could mention a number of things, but I'm saying instead of jumping ship, if you're having some battles, believe God for things to be better. How you go through the storm will be how you come out of the storm. Amen? I hope this is helping some of you. I hope this is ministering. This is something that we need to look at and be concerned with. Because of pressures, a lot of people are jumping ship, and I want to tell you, it's not going to get any better in society. Pressures will be greater next year than they are this year. The nearer we come to the coming of Jesus Christ and his church, there's going to be greater pressures than we've ever had. That's right. And that's why I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to make it, your family's going to make it, your home's going to make it, and our church is going to make it, we'd better get a hold of something that's stable, real, and powerful. Paul said, I press towards the mark of a high calling. It's going to take something to live for God and have the power of God in the next few years of Jesus tarries. It's going to take it. It's going to take it. There's going to be some that's going to jump ship. I'm not going to be one of them. Praise God, I'm going to stay on boat. I'm going to stay on the ship. I'm not jumping ship. Praise God. If things get rougher, I'm going to get tougher. Amen. Amen. If things get a little bit difficult, praise God, I'm just going to get the power of God in me. I don't care what prices do either. If bread goes to $5 a loaf, I'm going to believe God's a pocket change to buy it. Our churches don't have to sit over in a corner and say we can't do nothing. We can do all things. Glory to God. I don't care what year it is. Hallelujah. I'm not jumping ship. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm believing God for more than ever for the kingdom of God. It's a great day, folks. This is a great day. Don't jump ship. Stay on the boat. Father, I love you and thank you for the word and thank you for the power of the Spirit. And I thank you for this service. We bow our hearts, God, right now, believing and God asking for your Spirit to move among us and through us. We ask that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will operate among us and speak to us, convict us, deal with our hearts, deal in our lives. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Two folks, I tell you, God's here tonight. Oh, just praise him with me a moment. Let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Glory to God, Father. I love you. I appreciate you. Everybody just praise him with me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.